We've been talking about the body of Christ, showing the difference between it and Israel. That's one of the primary misunderstandings that people have about the body of Christ, thinking it's Israel, or it's part of Israel, or it's somehow getting Israel's blessings for the body of Christ instead of God's blessings that He had all the time planned for the body of Christ. So we looked at first. Oh, I don't have anybody to post verses. If somebody can post verses, that'll help. But we looked in 1 Corinthians 10:32, and it says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God." Well, there are four groups mentioned in that. Four groups, maybe not mentioned, but four groups in that. That verse. Let's count them. Well, before we count them, what's it saying? It's talking to somebody, and it's telling them, well, maybe we should count. Let's start at the end of the verse. The Church of God. So there's the Church of God that they're not to give offense to. And then the Gentiles come next to the last, not to give offense to the Gentiles. And then Paul is telling somebody not to give offense to the Jews. So there you've got Jews and Gentiles. That's pretty all-inclusive. But you've got also the Church of God, which was the little flock. Well, we still have one more group in that verse. The other group, or groups, in the verse was the you that we talked about, the understood you, or the grammatical ellipsis. Understood you. It's not written, but you understand who it is. And that's who Paul was talking to. So who was the you group that Paul was talking to? Well, they weren't one of the three groups that he told them not to give offense to. They were an additional group, one more group listed, the fourth group. First, actually, in order, Paul wouldn't have named the other group separately if I say, don't hurt him. You know, if I tell you not to hurt him, it's different from don't hurt yourself. So, him is not yourself. You in that series, in that thought, would be different from the one that's not to be hurt. In other words, the you group has to be a different group. So there were four groups in Corinth that Paul addressed in that verse. Not only the Jews, not only the Gentiles, not only the Church of God, but also the you group, including the gospel of Christ, which came out of the synagogues. The believers in the gospel of Christ, maybe I should say, the ones that had come out of the synagogues together with those who had started to believe, like the Church of God, like the little flock. Both of them believed the gospel of God that was presented to them, that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah. The difference between those two groups, which separated out from apostate synagogues in Corinth and Ephesus, other places too, we've got record of it, the difference was that only the body of Christ also believed the gospel of Christ, crucified for their sins, in addition to believing who Jesus was, the gospel of God. Paul knew that a main part of his commission was to preach the gospel to the remnant according to the election of grace. And that would have to be before Israel's diminishing ended. There was an end to that part of his commission. He knew that was coming. He had a time limit before they were blinded and cast away. And in what we know of as Acts 28, he didn't know that it would be divided in 28 chapters, I don't think, at that time. But so we've got in Acts 20, he writes Romans, the book of the epistle to the Romans, and he says in chapter 11, verse 5, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. They would choose grace when they heard the gospel of the gospel of Christ is what he was preaching at that time. That Christ died for their sins and rose for their justification, and that by receiving that to yourself, believing it, after you hear it, you are saved. 1 Corinthians was written just after Paul separated that local, newly believing little flock and the local, newly believing body of Christ from the apostate synagogue. They heard him preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the risen Messiah, the Son of God, and they believed that much. Both those groups fit into that category. Both the body of Christ and the little flock believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the risen Son of God. So at that point, they left the synagogue and met in Paul's meetings. They spent 18 months with Paul, Paul teaching them the Word of God, and it was still before Israel's blinding. So if we look at a different verse that kind of helps us see what was happening there and what the result of it was, look at 1 Corinthians 7, 19 to 20. Paul lets them, he uses the word let, but abide in the same calling wherein each was called. At that time, there were still two gospels around. I'm not sure personally whether they were still being saved into Israel's individually into Israel's gospel, or whether they had heard it before and now believing the gospel of God that put them in that category. I don't know whether people could go out and try to evangelize it. And we know by Acts 18 that follows Acts 15, in which they had pledged not to go after anybody but the circumcision that they already had. That's recorded in Galatians 2, verse 9. So I don't think that the point is, the calling of God was upon these people from before. And some of them that were called in circumcision, once they believed that Jesus was the risen Messiah, they became full-fledged a little flock believers, just like Mary, Lazarus, Martha, those people there, Nicodemus, that were in the little flock, who weren't necessarily apostles, but who were in that group of 8,012 at least that were meeting together in Jerusalem. They became believers in the similar same thing. You know, they weren't body of Christ. The ones that were called in circumcision. And Paul says, let's look at the verse, 1 Corinthians 7:19. Circumcision is, I skipped part here. Let me get back and find it in my poster here. 1 Corinthians 7, we'll start with verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all churches. So, now I mentioned those that were called in circumcision, but there were also those called in uncircumcision. They had been either the Greeks or people that heard the gospel somehow other than Paul being sent to them by this time. He wasn't, I'm going to leave that up, but there were two ways that God was calling people, in circumcision and in uncircumcision. So we read verse 17. Let's go on with 18, 19, and 20 to see about that very thing. Is any man... Did I post it? No, let me post it. Is any man called being circumcised? That's the calling of God on him. We're talking about God's call on the person. He's called being circumcised. Let him not become uncircumcised. See, we're unfamiliar with that because there's not two ways two gospels or two callings today. We're all called into the body of Christ. It's God's will that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That not that they be saved or believe Israel's doctrine or wait for the kingdom or whatever. You know, it's just the one way to be saved today, and it's God's will that all men be saved by believing that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification and receiving that unto themselves to their own needy condition. So, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. What's that say about the so-called Messianic Jews today? Be what you are. You know, if you're called in uncircumcision, don't try to be circumcision. So going on to verse 19, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments. And then finally the fourth in the series, the 20th verse, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Actually, the word Paul used was let. Let every man abide. And that's not a command, is it? That's an allowance. It's grace. Let every man, let him. But those verses show that although you and in that the people in that you group, they included all of Corinth's new believers in the gospel of God, yet some of those believers had and some had not gone on to believe the gospel of Christ to be saved at that time. Yeah, but it's short, it's admonition is a good word for that, true, yeah, but it's short of commandment. It's not a command. So not only was there a Jewish remnant that would elect grace, but Paul and his commission included gaining them and saving some of them before Israel's blinding. If we look elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, look in chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. For though I be free, let me see if I can post those here. 19, all right, there we go. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And that's Paul. You know, that's his, you read Romans 10, 1, well, the first verse tells it, in other words, just as passionately. But going to verse 20 here in 1 Corinthians 9, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. That explains a lot of the things Paul did in Acts, doesn't it? But it doesn't explain his calling. You have to read the words in the scripture that God sent Paul with the gospel of Christ. He commissioned him with a dispensing of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's why he went to them, to the Jews first, and also, well, look at the rest of the verse. Let me start 20 again. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law. No, that's not the Jews. The Jews are already talked about there. He's talking about somebody that's not a Jew, that puts himself under the law. As I understand it, that's what the Greeks did. They came to God on God's terms as you know, as God was working with man through Israel. So under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. So there you've got the Jews and the Greeks in verse 20. Verse 21, to them that are without law, as without law. Not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, referring back to the first part of the last verse there, that I might gain them that are without law. Well, who's without law? Wait a minute. This isn't a prison epistle. Why is he talking about trying to gain those that are not having anything to do with the law? Well, it is after Acts 18:22, the temple vision, when Christ told him that soon he would be sent to all men. So, he talks about it here. He talks about it in Romans. Romans 3, Romans 4, I'm trying to think if 4 has it. Romans 3 and Romans 5. 2 Corinthians has several places. The world, 2 Corinthians 5:19. So he does say that he's going to be sent to all people and that he cares about getting the gospel to all people. But he wasn't released yet to do that until... I shouldn't say released. It was more than a release. It was a ascending. He wasn't actually sent at the temple vision. He was actually sent when he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, in Acts 20, verse 6. So, going on, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Who are the weak in those assemblies? First of all, who were the strong that couldn't be destroyed or perished, like he says the weak would, could be? Who were the strong? Who were those that could not lose their salvation? Who were those that had already gotten their salvation by believing the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins? That would be the body of Christ's people in Paul's meeting. Well, the rest of them that believed the gospel of God and separated out from the synagogues but didn't have the call of God on them to believe Paul's gospel, they were remaining as Church of God people, the little flock type people. And that's who, at that point, is when he addresses, there we go, pardon me, he addresses the group as Church of God people. If you look in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, a lot of people just brush over that. Paul made a mistake. He's actually writing to the body of Christ. No, he didn't make any mistake. He was inspired of God to write that he was writing to the Church of God because they had separated out. They weren't apostate Israel anymore. And some of them, they all believed the gospel of God. Some of them in the future, in that 18 months that Paul preached to them, some of them would believe that the gospel of Christ that Paul was preaching and be body of Christ people. But before that, they were all just like, the ones that we mentioned there, Nicodemus, Lazarus. They were Israel-type people, body of Christ, not body of Christ, a little flock. Having trouble with my terms tonight. Sorry about that. But let's go on. And verse 23, and he says, I do this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. You know, by seeing you saved, in other words, is what he's implying, as I understand it. That's how they and he would be partakers of that gospel, the gospel's sake. So all these... I'm going to list four things here, and these factors, they have to be satisfied for it to be a correct assumption, or not assumption, but a correct application of the teachings here. The first, Paul's commission in Acts, before Israel's blinding, is to save some of the remnant according to the election of grace by preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's one thing that has to be remembered and considered. Another thing, secondly, Paul shook hands at Jerusalem not to go to the true circumcision. He was going to the heathen. That's the second thing to remember. Third thing, Church of God, that phrase, it throughout the New Testament, it refers to the little flock of kingdom believers, the Israel of God, at that time. So, and fourthly, the Bible tells us that in at least three places, Paul took believers in the gospel of God, including some that also believed the gospel of Christ, and he separated them all from the apostate Jewish synagogues. So let's put doctrine aside for a minute here and consider the reliable history in the Acts timeline, what Acts tells us within the inspired Word of God there, that particular history book within the Bible. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Well, we find out down in Acts 18:21 that when Paul left Athens, he was headed for the upcoming feast in Jerusalem, and he had his head, his mind, his eyes set on getting to Jerusalem in time for that feast. Going on to Acts 18, verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, the way I understand it, that he was the Caesar at that time, or the king of the Roman Empire. Caesar is what they called him. Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. So Aquila and Priscilla came. Anyway, I was going to go down a rabbit trail about what that shows, but it doesn't. It's irrelevant. So let's go on. Verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, or, you know, finished material, finished tense is what it was, because, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. So that's almost, the second and third verse is almost like a parenthesis. It's descriptive. But let me go to the first verse, and then we'll come down to the fourth verse instead of going straight into the fourth verse. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he reasoned reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now remember, reasoning, when it talks about Paul reasoning, it's talking about, well, Acts 17, verses 1 to 3 explains what he's talking about. He opens the scriptures and alleges or shows them the gospel of God, who Jesus is, that he is the Messiah. He's risen from the dead. He's the Son of God. And there's no salvation in that alone. Unless you add it to the list of things that Israel was already doing, the law, the circumcision, the covenants, keeping the covenants, and loyalty to God, and all that, the sacrifices when they fail the law, that's most of Israel had done those things, but had failed to believe that Jesus was the risen Messiah. So once they believed that, that completed the list of things. And they were, if they endured to the end, as Luke says, Acts 2:47, they were such as should be saved in the future when Christ returns. So, the word them, reasoned with them in Acts 18:4, it doesn't actually say it there, does it? Where does it have it? In verse... that's in Acts 17. Acts 17:2, the word them, that refers to whom Paul was sent, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He reasoned with them the gospel of God, which identifies Jesus. It's Jesus' name, that they are to believe in the name of Jesus, Jesus being the risen Messiah. So, it's opening and alleging. He introduced them to Christ. He made his case that Christ must needs have suffered, risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. That's the opening and alleging. What Paul calls persuaded. He reasoned with them and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Acts 18:5, going through this Corinth history of what happened at Corinth when he first went there. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now that's absolutely the gospel of God, isn't it? At this point, Paul concentrates on the Jews, not paying as much attention to the Greeks, and he's still teaching the gospel of God, that Jesus was Christ. Going on to verse 6 in Acts 18, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your own heads, I'm clean, and from henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Not as strong as he says it in Acts 18. More similar to the way he said it in Acts 13. So we go to Acts 18, verse 7 now, the next verse in the list. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. Believed what? Believed that he was the risen Messiah. That part that Paul said in Romans 10:8, that's what they lacked. They lacked faith, the faith in the gospel of God that Paul preaches. So the chief ruler of the synagogue, Crispus, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, and being baptized. That tells us the gospel which they heard was the saving power. It's God's power to save us. It's his the gospel of salvation. At that time, the gospel of Christ. That Christ died for their sins and rose for their justification. Welcome to the room. Good to see you. So, this most likely happened before Paul was sent not to baptize. Acts 18:8, we understand that Paul was sent, was told that he was, the temple vision was in Acts 18:22, a few verses later. So he hadn't yet been told not to baptize, which he probably was told in that same temple vision. When Paul came to Corinth, he had been in Athens, and that's in Acts 18:1. We find him week after week in the synagogue of the Jews, verse 4, Acts 18:4, reasoning and persuading the Jews and some of the Gentiles, the Greeks that were present in the synagogue. And later he testified specifically to the Jews that Jesus was Christ, Acts 18:5, which is the gospel of God. And when those Jews opposed themselves and blasphemed, Paul, in effect, informed them that he's going to the ones he was sent to, the Greeks. He says, I've informed you first, as I was sent to do. Now, the choice is yours. I go to the Greek Gentiles, to whom I was also sent. So he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. The Jews rejected him, so he's going ahead with preaching the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ to the Greeks, those Gentiles that were available and would listen. that he had been sent to originally, or not originally, in his Acts 13 sending. It doesn't say Greeks, but following the Acts record, those who went to Paul, put it this way, Paul went to the Jews and the Greeks, and Paul did say, whereupon, now this would be in Acts 26:19 that Paul said this, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, according to Romans 1:16. And he did it. I mean, he wasn't disobedient. The Lord told him in two verses earlier, than Acts 26:17, that he was... Oh, let me get that. I want to get the exact reading here because it's slaughtered so many times. Acts 26... it's read as if it is talking about all the Gentiles, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. It doesn't say delivering you from the people and from all the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. He was sent to the Gentiles from whom Christ delivered him. That was those Gentiles with the Jews in those synagogues that he went to in that first circuit there, the first trip around. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And that's specifying which ones, which Gentiles. It's not yet to all the Gentiles that people like to imply that verse says. So, Paul went to whom he was sent. And he wrote to whom he was sent in his epistles. Both the early and the late epistles he wrote to whom he was sent to at the time. And that's true both of Paul's early and late epistles. Now, I could say it again in repetition, you know. But in the early epistles, well, in the late epistles, he wrote to all people that, to people that had been from all backgrounds, put it that way. Mainly to either churches or to people that were believers. Paul's early epistles were written between Acts 9 and Acts 20, when he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek in order to save some of the remnant according to the election of grace. And those epistles, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So it's also true in his later epistles, written after his second sending to all people. Those were Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And these later so-called prison epistles were written after Paul had been sent to all men, even to the far-off Gentiles, in the regions beyond, according to 2 Corinthians 10:16, when he was raising funds to do that. Paul went and preached to whom he was sent in five places between Acts 9 and Acts 20. Paul names those to whom he was sent and to whom he went and preached his gospel of salvation before his later sending, and during that earlier time period, in other words, before his temple vision. And those scriptures where he names them and talks about those that he was sent to in the early period, Acts 14:1, Acts 18:4, Acts 19:10, Romans 1:16, Acts 20:21, Romans 10:12, and 1 Corinthians 1:22 and 1 Corinthians 1:24. So Paul went and preached to whom he was sent. Also, a second thought here. There's no place between Acts 9 and Acts 20 in Paul's early preaching years where the Bible says that Paul was sent to or went to or preached to the gospel of salvation to anyone besides Jews and Greeks. someone that blessed Israel, or someone that was an Israelite, good or bad, still a Jew. So we Gentiles that are aliens to Israel, we were without Christ. We were with we were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. It says strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You know, how desperate. And people have this veil over their eyes from the deceiver and think that they're fine, and, you know, this everything has to do with this world and what I can get in this world, they think. But we would be really in a bad way without Christ's good news for us in Paul's later epistles, his all-man epistles, the prison epistles they're called. So Paul departed from the synagogue, entering into believing Justice's house. Remember, he was a believer, that, and his house was built against, or hard against, hard joined hard to the synagogue, immediately adjacent there. The chief ruler of the synagogue, Crispus, believed, and also many of the Corinthians believed when they got to hear Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. They became believers. And that's the key here. They didn't believe until they had heard. They didn't hear until it had been preached to them. And it hadn't been preached to them until Paul was sent to them. Paul was sent to the Jew first, and also to the Greek in the early, in Paul's early epistles, his Acts period epistles. And look what the Bible says in Romans 10. Right. Look what the Bible says. This will be Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So that's just what happened there in, well, in Corinth at least, and also in the other places in Thessalonica, Philippi, Ephesus. Going on in Romans 10, verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, that's what Paul did. He went to those places and preached it upon being sent by God, by Christ. And just to close here, in Galatians 2:9, Paul had shaked hands with Peter, James, and John, saying that he would go to the heathen and leave the true circumcision to Israel's apostles, who they already were ministering to, the true circumcision, those that were in their group there in Jerusalem, the church of God. And Paul went to the heathen then. He went to the heathen that were not believing Israel's doctrine, part of Israel's doctrine being Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19, that, well, let me get that too. I don't have that memorized. But it's what they didn't believe. Let me get it posted, and then we'll get to it here. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, and of thy brethren like unto me. This is Moses speaking, and unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord, let Neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. In other words, recognizing the holiness of God and his unholiness. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. A couple more verses here. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Verse 19 to close. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And that's what they did. They rejected Jesus Christ, the prophet sent that was like unto Moses. Much greater, of course. But they rejected him. That's part of the law. They broke the law in rejecting that, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll get to more